Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at bojanglesbiscuits.com.
My goal is to have something done on affordable housing within this calendar year, because I believe that if we don't do something, our community will lose faith in everything.
That's Mayor Vi Lyles, and sure enough, there will be a $50 million bond on next month's ballot. The city has long had a shortage of affordable housing. In the 90s, a new vision for public housing helped contribute to that. Hundreds of people in Charlotte were displaced to make way for it. Today, the story of one of those communities. That's coming up on FAQ City. So on the line right now, I have Michelle Meggs. She's a WFA listener and a Charlotte resident. Can you tell us about this question that you submitted?
I was curious about what happened to the residents who were living in public housing around the city. I remember when Charlotte was going through this, renewal project, and they had gotten these grants to rebuild housing for those who were living in the public housing units around the city. And I was just curious as to what happened to those residents.
Yeah. And was there like a particular public housing project that you were interested in?
I think the one uptown may have been Earl Village. I think that was the name of it. And I was just curious as to what happened to all of those residents.
Yeah. Okay. So Earl Village. You may not have heard of it unless you've been in Charlotte since the 90s, and that's okay. It's an incredible story, and it's not told often. To start, here are some folks who remember.
It was a red brick project.
There were close to 400 families in Earl Village. It was like a small town.
6th Street to 7th Street, 8th Street, 9th Street to 10th Street. It was a real bad neighborhood, like the worst neighborhood in Charlotte, you know.
Well, you would see children laughing, playing, jump rope, riding bikes, playing hopscotch in the street.
People, of course, selling drugs, and I've seen countless people shot.
I could say that a lot of the issues that they befronted were not of their doing. I can say that.
Those are some of the voices of people who were there before Earl Village was demolished. One of those voices is 38-year-old Chris Major. His great-grandmother, Kathleen Barkley, was actually one of the first to move to Earl Village when it was completed in 1967. I met Major in First Ward Park, a nice park built a few years ago, not far from where Earl Village once stood.
My place where I grew up is right down here, like two blocks down the street.
He moved into Earl Village when he was still young, and he lived in a row house on 7th Street that had no central air and limited heat. Like many kids, he spent a lot of his time at the neighborhood basketball court.
The basketball court at Earl Village, that's where, in the Earl Village Rec Center, period. Like, that's where you go to relieve stress, you go to get away from our place to get away from what was going on actually in the projects. On a bright sunny day, court packed. It's like 100 people, you know, in the hot sun, waiting to get next. That's how I learned how to play basketball.
There were a handful of other landmarks around the area. First Ward Grocery, Peso's Corner Store, Little Rock AME Zion Church on 7th Street. Besides the church, none of these places exist anymore. So the story of what happened to Earl Village really gets started in the early 90s. This is when the Charlotte Housing Authority conceived of this idea to tear down the neighborhood and rebuild it as a nicer mixed-income development using a Federal HOPE 6 grant. This is around the time that housing officials had figured out that crowded public housing was only perpetuating poverty. So the Housing Authority teams up with Bank of America, then called Nations Bank, and plans for a new revitalized development were drawn up. The Earl Village residents were very skeptical of this. But the housing authority had written them letters saying most residents could come back to the new development. Here's Willie Ratchford, who grew up in Earl Village, now works for the city.
There were a lot of people who were of the impression that I'm going to be removed temporarily and I'm going to get an opportunity to come back to a bigger and better place.
And on August 1st, 1995, the first Earl Village apartments were bulldozed. Over the next few months, the village fell quickly, block by block.
First, you'll see the bulldozer like parked there. Then maybe when you're getting out from work, half the building's gone. Maybe the next day the whole building's gone and it's in the next block. And it was real, real depressing.
Oh yes, oh yes. It was swift. It's almost like someone taking an eraser and erasing it out.
That's Gregory Kennedy, whose family owned a nearby barbershop, and Harvey Shropshire, who managed the Earl Village Learning Center. During demolition, most of the residents were moved to other housing projects in the city, and some, like Major's family, were shuffled to other village apartments.
It was a sad time for me because it's like these are all your memories. Like, I've literally watched all of my memories get torn down. Like, I watched it get demolished, like, piece by piece. So it really was sad. Like, you know, I would go through times, like, just walking through the neighborhood and just reminiscing and, you know, just like, man, you know, I understand it's part of growth, but, you know, it kind of hurt.
Coming up, broken promises and an answer to the question of what happened to the residents of Earl Village. Stay with us. Hey everyone, the November midterm elections are nearly upon us, and ahead of them, WFAE is hosting a midterm special hosted by our own Mike Collins. Learn about the people and the issues that will be on the ballot this November. That's happening at the Booth Playhouse on October 23rd at 7 p.m. Oh yeah, and admission's free. And we're coming right back. So the plan was that the new development, First Ward Place, would house the majority of Earl Village residents and other senior citizens and working-class professionals. Any lost units would be replaced with new housing elsewhere in the city. But that wasn't what happened. While First Ward Place was hailed as a national model for public housing, a 1999 Charlotte Observer investigation found that upon completion, the number of public housing units had actually been slashed nearly in half. 200 public housing units had essentially been lost. And all those replacements that should have been built? Well, the project had run short on money. They would never be built. Only 44 families, or about 12% of Earl Village, successfully moved back in, and most were required to stay employed and move out of public housing within 5 years. Major's mother, Shirley Gomillion, was one of the few who got in, though she had to sue for her spot. And what's crazy is that Earl Village itself had been built for people who were displaced when the old Brooklyn neighborhood was raised by the city in the 60s, taking out some 1,500 homes and businesses. So some of these people had now lost their homes to urban renewal 2 times in a row. Anyway, if you ask folks whether they're upset that Earl Village is gone, the answers are conflicted. Here's Major again.
I don't regret that it was torn down. I just regret the way it was done. You know, I felt like it needed to be cleaned up because in order for Charlotte to grow. I just feel like it could have been done in a better way.
So back to our question asker, Michelle. So the answer is like a lot of these people are still in Charlotte. And, you know, a lot of them ended up staying in these other overcrowded housing projects until they got torn down and replaced with mixed income housing. And, you know, some people got into those developments and others ended up going to Charlotte's West Side along Beattie'sford mm-hmm. Road or Roswell's mm-hmm. Ferry, mm-hmm. pretty much like anywhere else that they could.
It's like they're trying to move low income black and brown people off to the edges of the city, which is extremely problematic.
I wonder if you think that there are any lessons that we should take away from this as a city.
Right. I think there's some honesty that needs to happen in terms of who and what the city wants to be and how it is seriously working to resolve the housing crisis and how Charlotte is trying to partner with organizations that are that is helping to reverse that trend.
Well, you can still find parts of Earl Village if you know where to look. There are still some original buildings left in First Ward. They're beneath some trees on Davidson Street, though they've got new paint and shutters. And every August for about the last two decades,
Earl Village, baby, this is how we do it, man. Every year.
Old residents host a village reunion with food, music, and I Am Earl Village t-shirts. So yeah, most of the buildings may be gone, but the people are still here.
You know, boy, Earl Village used to be off the hook, boy.
Off the chain, boy. We was reminiscing about that the other day.
Well, that's it for this week. A huge thanks to everyone we talked to, especially Major, who is also a rapper and producer. This is from his Earl Village-inspired album, Straight Out the Ville, circa 2001. Hey, if you appreciate this podcast, let us know with a rating or review. Or if you're on the NPR One app, make sure to tap the interesting button on this episode. And I hope to hear from you with your question about Charlotte's people, culture, or history. You can submit any and all questions at wfae.org/FAQCity, and we may just search for an answer on an upcoming episode. Until next time, I'm Nick Della Canale.
Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at BojanglesBiscuits.com.